RadioInfluence.com.
If you have any performance questions, comments, or smart remarks, text Crusher at 101260 and follow him on Twitter at Jeff Crush. Now, here he is, the Crusher.
Why, Crusher, it's good to see you.
All right, everybody, welcome to Crush Performance. We're your weekly source for sport performance and athletic development information. Today, a very special episode, the first show of each month dedicated to the Crush War on Sugar, as we look at the ins and outs, the upsides and the downsides of all the sugar we've been consuming in our diets. It's affecting every aspect of our lives, and it's having a massive impact on our society. Today, a blockbuster show, a very important show for you, your family, and your athletes. We'll have Dr. Anduise Allen, the Chief Medical Officer for the Glycemic Research Institute in Washington, join us to talk about what exactly is the glycemic index. The question of the day, is the sugar in your diet killing you? Based on recent research, you know, it doesn't look good, and sugar is a major culprit. There's no doubt about it. All the science right now is pointing in that direction. We've got to do something. We're losing this battle. If we think about it, high sugar, too much sugar, it makes sense. It's almost common sense. But where is the sense in this? Listen, increased risk of certain cancers, increased risk of degenerative brain disease, obesity, diabetes, we know about. And for athletes, reduced sport performance and recovery. And there's much more. The cost of healthcare alone could strain, and the strain of obesity and diabetes alone could really put a kink on every single healthcare system on the planet. As a matter of fact, if we look at what's happening in the world of medicine right now, it's been said that diabetes and obesity alone has the potential to take down every single healthcare system on the planet. It's a very, very important topic. And, you know, just to give you some perspective, again, we've talked about this before, but in 1822, the average American and the average adult, North American adult, ate the amount of sugar found in one of today's 12-ounce sodas every 5 days. Now we're consuming that much every 7 hours. In 1822, the average adult consumed 6.3 pounds of sugar per person per year. Today, some reports are saying we're as high as 150 pounds of excess sugar per day. And not only that, the types of sugar, the table sugar, the fructose, the sucrose, the high fructose corn syrup, maltodextrins, artificial sweeteners, it's almost maddening. So let's try to make sense of it today. Get us your questions, your comments, your smart remarks on the website, on Twitter at Jeff Crush, or of course you can text us 101260. And to help us make sense of it all today, a Crush favorite, as we put together our battle plan in our war on sugar, we're joined by Dr. Anduise Allen, Chief Biomedical Officer for the Glycemic Research Institute in Washington, D.C. Dr. Anduise Allen, thanks for joining us today.
Hey, Crush, how you doing?
Very good. Well, we're back in action, and we've waged war on sugar, and we thought, who better to go to than somebody who's, you know, studied this your entire life? Doc, maybe give us an idea, and our listeners an idea, about what the Glycemic Research Institute is all about.
Well, the Glycemic Research Institute is one of the pioneers of the glycemic index and glycemic research itself, and how to correlate foods, beverages, nutraceuticals, anything that goes in the mouth, orally ingested edibles, okay? So anything that goes in your mouth, don't matter if it comes back out or not. As you know, when we did the diets with diet soda study to prove that they were fattening and caused diabetes, we just had them swish it around in their mouth and they spit it out. Swallowing is optional, okay? You're going to get the same problems just having that drink hit the back of the tongue and the roof of the mouth than if you swallow it. So, you know, really, at the Glycemic Research Institute, we're quite pissed, I got to tell you.
Uh-huh.
We're quite pissed because when we started the research in 83 and developed all kind of protocols for brain glycemic indexing and the glycemic index, we had no idea that fast forward to 2016 that type 3 diabetes would be called Alzheimer's disease, that it would be so profound that the leading cause of lung cancer isn't smoking, it's the glycemic index and eating high glycemic foods. Now, if you'd have told me back that in 83, I'd have said, baby, now put down that crack pipe and get yourself some help.
I hear you were talking with Dr. Anduise.
Get yourself some help, yeah, baby, because you need some help now. You're obviously going crazy. And, you know, so that's what we all would have said is like, are you insane?
Right,
I'm not just talking about, you know, like, oh, we think that might be the case. There's a massive amount of research, science, clinical trials, And it's just accumulating more and more that the glycemic index is not only related to your risk of cancer. And I think that the lung cancer study, which recently came out, honestly, that freaked me out. I'm not kidding you. That just freaked me out.
Hey, Dr. Allen, listen, we understand the connection between obesity and diabetes. That's been talked about. We understand the stats there, and that's scary enough. The World Health Organization is calling on countries to reduce sugar intake by up to a third, especially the Westerners, for sure. But let's talk about the glycemic index, because I really don't think a lot of people understand what the index is all about. Because when it comes down to it, Dr. Allen, a calorie is not a calorie, and that's kind of what we're talking about here.
Oh, hell no. A calorie is not a calorie. And that is one of the first paradigms that we noticed is, guess what? All calories are not created equal. And that's why we were so freaked out about diet sodas, and I spent 4 hours doing a live podcast on Clear Channel with my research scientist partners from NIH and Johns Hopkins University, head of genetics, and we did a four-hour live podcast on Clear Channel. They made us go on there and talk about, what do you mean? What do you mean that diet sodas, you know, can cause Alzheimer's or dementia or obesity and diabetes, and that they're more fattening than, you know, a big bowl of sugar? Yeah, hello. So it's really craziness that's coming out. And how the glycemic index relates to that is, you know, from the beginning of the creation of type 2 diabetes and borderline diabetes, okay? And let me quote to you from some of the clinical studies that have been done regarding Alzheimer's. Quote, our findings highlight the need to detect borderline diabetes in order to proactively address both type 2 diabetes, obesity, and dementia, including increased risk of dementia and Alzheimer's, okay? Because when you mess with brain glycemic indexing and you mess with the very fuel that the brain lives on, okay, which is carbohydrates, brain doesn't care about any proteins or fatty. It cares about carbohydrates and things that elevate blood glucose. So we know that very poor blood sugar control is related to dementia and Alzheimer's. In fact, they did a study of 23,000 people for 8 years to really determine if the glycemic index was related and correlated to an increase of dementia and diabetes, and it absolutely was. So there's no doubt, and there's just more and more research coming out of like Mount Sinai School of Medicine in New York and other serious Journal of Neurology, Boston University School of Public Health going, hey, guess what? Everything is related to the glycemic index, from blood sugar to diabetes to childhood obesity to cancer, and it's just crazy. And, you know, we used to think, well, let's see, if we know what raises your blood sugar, and that's what the glycemic index is, how do we determine if you eat or drink something, how do we determine how that raises your blood sugar, how much it raises your blood sugar, and how does it elevate insulin? Insulin is now referred to by pharmaceutical researchers as the death hormone.
Scary.
You know what? That's just like last year. The death hormone. Because when you elevate blood glucose and insulin levels, okay, then that triggers all kind of insane things in the brain and in the body that cause childhood obesity, adult obesity, diabetes, type 2 diabetes, and now type 3, which is Alzheimer's. But, you know, before we end this call, I'm gonna have to really do the 411 freak out on your sports enthusiasts, well, because we now know that the sports drinks that they are drinking reduce testosterone and reduce sports performance. Now, you know what? You mess around with some testosterone in a male and you're not going to get any sports performance.
Well, you mess around with testosterone for any athlete, period. That's why athletes go to the dark side. Let's get to that later in the show. I want to go back to this whole thing on Alzheimer's. One of the reasons, Dr. Allen, we're talking with Dr. Andrew Allen, the chief biomedical officer for the Glycemic Research Institute in Washington, D.C. You know, one of the reasons we're waging this war is my mom. And everybody who follows the show and has been listening, we're dedicating the first show of every month of this year to our war on sugar. And, you know, my mom had early onset Alzheimer's, and it's just been a very sad thing. Anybody who's dealt with those degenerative brain diseases, and not just Alzheimer's, we're talking Parkinson's, there's relationships to MS.
Yes.
Doc, one thing my dad said, and again, he goes, look, I'm a farmer. I don't know about the science. He says, but I'm telling you, your mother had a sweet tooth her entire life. He says, I can't prove it. He says, I don't know about it, but I've got a gut feeling all this sugar has something to do with the way she is right now. Isn't that something?
Yeah, and we know what it is, okay? It used to be mysterious, but we know what it is. They even followed, 683 men and women for the correlation. The study was designed to examine the signs of Alzheimer's and increased insulin levels, okay? So when you eat or drink something high glycemic, you increase your blood glucose levels, and that's really going to mess up your brain. And then the death knell is increased insulin levels. So what the scientists and the researchers have shown in thousands of studies, that high insulin levels are intimately correlated with not only type 2 diabetes, but a higher risk of developing Alzheimer's. So now, if you look at the 2005 study, going back to then, published in the Archives of Neurology, okay, because that's what we're talking about, neurological behavior in the brain and the body, and those two things are related. It said that high insulin levels caused by ingesting high glycemic foods and beverages are linked to Alzheimer's. Now, that was in 2005. Did anybody pay any attention to that? No. But now, as the baby boomer generation approaches age 60, we're at the highest risk of Alzheimer's. So the connection between diabetes and Alzheimer's has major public health implications. And as the baby boomers approach age 60, we believe that one-third of all of the baby boomer Americans are right now looking at a dramatic increase in Alzheimer's. Now, that's not going to go down, okay? The baby boomers, like I've said, it ain't going down without a fight. But there are thousands and thousands of clinical trials going back to 2005 showing that Alzheimer's are related to the glycemic index. And so, you know, now we've been busier than ever at the Glycemic Research Institute. You know, companies like Walmart, okay, they used to go, we don't need no stinking low glycemic seals on our foods or products, you know. And now, oh no, they're not saying that anymore, because we're talking about Alzheimer's, MS, dementia, diabetes, obesity, diabetes, and childhood obesity that can't be reversed by making new progenitor fat cells. Okay. And now lung cancer.
Right.
Number one cause of lung cancer is the glycemic index. Okay. So now here comes Walmart all of a sudden. Oh no. Walmart said, we don't need to be certified low glycemic. They came crawling back and went, you know, and Walmart's pretty big company. They came to us and said, you know what? What if we could have some low glycemic cookies? And I said, you know what? There aren't any low glycemic cookies out there. And Walmart was like, well, the customers want cookies. And I said, yeah, we all want cookies. I want cookies. So they said, okay, we want to, you know, we want to develop a low glycemic, certified by the Glycemic Research Institute, fudge graham cookie with a big fudge coating on it. I was like, really? And I said, what time does that rocket leave for the moon? Because that's going to cost you.
Right.
That's going to cost you years of research. And they were like, okie dokie. So fast forward, 2015, we introduced Walmart low glycemic cookies, certified low glycemic by us. That is the first time that a major corporation of that dimension has said, okay, we got to have low glycemic sweets. Because if your mother had had, and if you go in Walmart, you'll see them right now. It's the fudgy graham cookies, and I have about 5,000 of those piled on my desk, and I don't even want to tell you how many I eat every day. Just don't even ask me, okay? What? But it has the seal of the Glycemic Research Institute on, which is very hard to get. So, I mean, if you look at Burger King, we named one of Burger King's foods Breakthrough Product of the Year for Children, kid-friendly food. By their apple fries, right? And they increased their sales by like $1 trillion by saying, ha-ha, we have a low glycemic, glycemically certified, something for kids. So now what we're seeing is these big companies, you know, are coming to us and going, could you help us maybe develop something? Listen, the hardest thing in the world to people say, I want a low glycemic ice cream. That's easy to do. That's a no-brainer. We've done 25 years of clinical trials on that. We can fix ice cream. We can fix chocolate. We can fix candy. But fixing things like a cookie was very, very hard, but it's doable. We can fix, you know, chocolate fudge milkshakes and make them low glycemic so that they won't trigger fat storage into the fat cell and they don't turn the key code to the fat cell. Well, what woman doesn't want that?
Yeah, I agree.
But we're not just, you know, now we're talking about serious diseases.
Yeah, it's
serious
stuff.
And we're talking about the baby boomers having to do something to prevent. Now, here's what they know. They know that if you eat high glycemic foods, okay, you ready for this one? Let me just give you the calculation. You have a 70% greater risk of developing dementia and Alzheimer's, okay? And
that's
that is a 9-year clinical trial.
That's a big number. We're talking with Dr. Andrew Allen, the Chief Biomedical Officer for the Glycemic Research Institute. Doc, as we wage war on sugar here today, I want to get more into these companies, these warriors of the future who are really going to push this trend in the right direction. We have to cut out for a quick break. When we come back, though, let's take a look at the lung cancer research, because this is alarming and scary stuff, but it's incredibly real. We want people to hear that. And also, we've got to get to the fact that your sports drink might be reducing your performance on Crush Performance. More coming up with Dr. Andrew Allen right after this.
Radio Influence strives to bring you the best in digital media broadcasting. We've got something for everybody. National sports radio talents such as the fabulous Sports Babe and Rich Herrera. Huge podcasts like the Don Tony and Kevin Castle Show. And the MMA Insiders with Jason Floyd and Sam Kaplan. New shows like Beyond the Badge with Vincent Hill. Entertainment shows like LOL with Nancy Alexander. And shows that'll make you think like Dangerous Conversation with Scott Ledger.
We've got you covered.
You can find all our shows on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, and RadioInfluence.com.
Crush Performance, your weekly source for sport performance and athletic development information. Each week, we look at the latest trends and research coming out of the performance world to keep you on the cutting edge and to find out what it takes to achieve human maximum performance. And athletes, now you can do just that as Crush Performance presents the Sport Matrix, the program for top performance in sport. For more information, go to crushperformance.com and join us Wednesday evenings at 7, Saturdays at 4. We're here to help you think like an athlete.
Find out what it takes to be a top performer. Get the Crush blog, podcast, and newsletter at crushperformance.com. Now, back to the show.
All right, welcome back to the show. Jeff Groeschel here, Connor Howley behind the glass, keeping us on track. We are your weekly source for sport performance and athletic development information. The first show of every month is dedicated to the Crush war on sugar. It's destroying health, it's destroying lives, and it's destroying sports performance, and we've waged war. Today, to help us with our battle plan, Crush favorite, Dr. Andrew Allen, the Chief Biomedical Officer for the Glycemic Research Institute in Washington, D.C., joins us. Dr. Allen, thanks for hanging on over the break.
Oh, happy to do it. I love your audience. They're very bright. They always send in good questions.
Well, we've got some great questions coming in through the text line, 101260. We also have some great ones coming in over Twitter, at Jeff Crush. And this is a topic I believe we could talk about with no end. We went through the first segment looking at the unbelievable impact that high glycemic diets are having on the health of people all around the world. But, Doc, this is scary stuff. When we start talking about the impact and the direct relationship with degenerative brain diseases like Alzheimer, how does high glycemic diets cause Alzheimer and all these other neurodegenerative diseases?
Okay, let's look at a really simple explanation. And, you know, as you and I have talked about, we want to get this information to the public, to your listeners, and to the public in general that cares about health, science, nutrition, and their bodies falling apart. Well, you know what? I don't know anybody that doesn't want to talk about their body falling apart. So, okay, let's just go to this. The Journal of Alzheimer's Disease, okay? Them people don't mess around. And what they published and what they've shown in major clinical trials is the higher your blood sugar levels go. So, remember, high glycemic foods elevate blood sugar levels and insulin. Let's just look at the blood sugar. The higher your blood sugar levels are, okay, the higher this sticky protein substance that we do not like, it's bad, it's really bad, called beta amyloid. Now, why is beta amyloid such a bad dude? Because that stick, if you look at it under micro, it's like a sticky protein, but that's what we call it, a sticky protein. What we know is, if the sticky protein, beta amyloid, builds up in the human brain, okay, you end up with what's called an Alzheimer's brain. So according to the researchers, and that was published in Journal of Alzheimer's and about 1,000 others, beta amyloid plays this major role in destroying nerve cells in the brain. And then that, in turn, destroys your cognitive function and leads to Alzheimer's. So, you know, it's interesting that they did publish a study that sugary drinks are linked to Alzheimer's. Yeah, because sugary drinks increase the glycemic index and elevate your blood glucose. So if you're looking at the baby boomers, right, what have they done the longest? They've eaten foods that elevate blood glucose and insulin. They've been drinking diet sodas for years, which elevate insulin in the brain. It's called brain glycemic indexing, okay? And we have low levels of nitric oxide, arginine, and GH. Now, if you want dementia, if you say to me, hey, how can I get me some dementia? And how can I get me some of that? I'm going to say, okay, this is what you need to do. You need to have a lot of high glycemic foods and beverages, a lot of it's beverages, and you need to drink a lot of beverages that instigate brain glycemic indexing, and then you need to get older so you lose nitric oxide, you lose L-arginine, and you lose growth hormone. If we combine low nitric oxide levels with low arginine levels, which is what creates nitric oxide, as the Nobel Prize winner for the discovery that arginine generated was the sole generator of nitric oxide, okay, and then you lose GH, which we start losing at age 23, you'll see why people don't get Alzheimer's when they're 16.
Right.
They get it when they're, you know, older. And now the baby boomers have been eating this and drinking all this crap all their lives. So what we're facing now, Crush, is the hidden glycemic triggers. So people used to say, hey, oh, this is good. If I just avoid sugar, okay, then I can avoid all these problems because it's then you won't eat anything high. Wrong. It don't work that way because now the glycemic index is totally worthless. Worthless. Now you're talking to the person that received the first glycemic patent ever awarded, okay? But I'm telling you, it's worthless unless you combine brain glycemic indexing, which is why diet sodas and beverages of any time of any type increase obesity, diabetes, and Alzheimer's and dementia because it circumvents the gut transport. It doesn't even need the gut transport. It needs gut-brain access, which means that all you have to do is put it in your mouth like a piece of gum, and the brain starts spilling insulin and triggering all of these mechanisms that lead to Alzheimer's, cancer, diabetes, and reduced sports performance. So if you don't know what the hidden glycemic triggers are, how can you know?
Right. And of course,
you have to do a clinical trial. And then we like to do with people. We like to stick them in an MRI and see what part of the brain lights up. That's my favorite thing.
Like a Christmas tree. And we know, as
like
you mentioned,
a Christmas.
Yeah, exactly. And you know that the insulin has also been called, as you mentioned, the death hormone. So this is a scary cycle that we're in. And we're seeing it right now. We're seeing obesity. We're seeing disease. We're seeing, again, you know, coming out of the University of Texas, the Anderson Cancer Center, the research you mentioned on lung cancer. Doc, this is one of the scariest things I've ever heard. The fact that our diets have a higher or increased the risk of developing lung cancer more than smoking potentially. This is off the charts.
This is what's called a scientific freakout, okay? And people are calling us all day long going, is that a joke? Come on, people. No, you see, MD Anderson Cancer Center and the National Institutes of Health and the Journal of Cancer Epidemiology, Biomarkers, and Prevention, they don't really kid around. They don't have a good sense of humor, okay? So what we're talking about is in March 2016, every single glycemic researcher and cancer researcher on the face of the earth had a total freak out, right? When this research came out of the Journal of Cancer Epidemiology, Biomarkers, and Prevention, and we'll make that available to your listeners,
yep,
coming out of the National Institutes of Health and MD Anderson Cancer Clinic, and it says, okay, guess what, kids? High glycemic carbs are directly linked to lung cancer. Glycemic index of foods and beverages consumed are linked to lung cancer. High glycemic diets, foods, and beverages increase the risk of lung cancer, not by 2%, Crusher, but 49%. Now, freak out over that.
49%. We're talking with Dr. Anduise Allen as she helps us map out our battle plan as we wage war on sugar. Dr. Allen is the Chief Biomedical Officer for the Glycemic Research Institute in Washington. Doc, listen, if that's a number that, you know, we have to start dealing with, imagine if we start putting together a system. And as you mentioned, the big players like Walmart getting on board, these warriors of the future that can do it right. Doc, it seems that we're at such a turning point right here. It's happening so fast. We're losing this battle. We're losing ground every single day. We really just, you know, and doctors are inundated. They're educated. There's so much research coming at doctors right now, but we can't wait for them to catch up. We've got to get educated now.
Yeah, but the thing is, we don't have to catch up. We've been doing this research for 30 years.
Right.
We've got to let the peaks catch up. The glycemic index, and I'll tell you something, what really freaked us out about the MD Anderson study was, and NIH funded that, was that smokers, okay? Smokers with the highest glycemic index levels, are you ready for this?
Yep.
Are 92% more likely to develop squamous cell carcinoma subtypes as opposed to the lowest glycemic indexing group. Now, even non-smokers, this really messed with our heads. Non-smokers don't even smoke. I've never had a cigarette in my life, right? So I'm like, oh, great. Non-smokers consuming high glycemic diet or foods now double their likelihood to develop lung cancer. That is the craziest thing ever.
Yeah.
So they, you know, they tracked over close to 2,000 patients and found that in lung cancer, the higher risk of lung cancer in patients was related to the highest daily glycemic index. What are you talking about? Now, there's a pathology to it, if you want to know the pathology.
Well, I'll tell you what, why don't we hook people up with that research? They can read it, because here's one thing I want to get to before this segment comes to a close, because we understand the Alzheimer's and the neurology side of it. We understand the impact it's having. Thanks for that. We also know that disease states like cancer are certainly impacted by the diet. But an interesting thing that we've discovered as well is the influence of high glycemic diets and sugary drinks on sport performance. Now, this is something, Doc, you and I, you've been on the show before, and we've discussed why athletes go to the dark side, use PEDs and to try to find answers to enhance their performance, increase longevity, reduce injuries, recover quicker. But you know what? We might be looking the answer right in the eye every time we grab one of those sports drinks or every time we sit at the table to eat more than anything else.
Okay, there's what we're going to call another nutritional freakout. But before we move on to that, really, one of the things that we've been studying for over 30 years in arginine and GH is IGFs, okay?
Right.
And there are good IGFs and there's bad IGFs. So what the researchers found out, and of course there are two different forms, minimally, of IG, and that's IGF 1, 2s, and 3s, and 4, but they fit into categories.
And those are insulin growth factors. Those are insulin growth factors, IGFs.
Yes.
Yeah.
Sorry
right.
about that.
No, that's all right.
Okay, so there's good IGFs and bad IGFs. So one of the reasons that eating a lot of red meat increases your risk of prostate cancer and hormonal cancers is it elevates the bad IGFs, okay? And what they found in with the lung cancer is eating the high glycemic foods and beverages triggered the bad kind of IGFs, and that's what's linked to lung cancer. So it really was the hormones that it stimulates, and stimulating those type of hormones is a really bad idea. Now, what can we do? Simply stop eating so many high glycemic foods and beverages. And like I said, you know what? These warriors are coming to the table, like Walmart. Warriors are groups of people that are going to make foods and beverage as nutraceuticals available to the public with a known glycemic response that's
right.
clinically proven and validated, right? We're certified by the United States government, the Canadian government, and the UK government, and have been for 30 years. And we're the only ones in the world that are certified in those areas. To say if something things high glycemic or not. But you know, for those of you that understand the glycemic index, I got another freak out for you. The glycemic load didn't make a damn bit of difference in related to lung cancer and cancer.
So Doc, can you explain the load? Can you explain the load for our listeners?
Yes. Okay. So all these people, you know, when they come and they want to do trials, they say, can we just have the load? And I go, no, that's like you buy a car with no wheels. No, you're not getting it. So they go, why not? And I go, because that's stupid. No, I don't tell them that. I go, look, if you in obesity and diabetes, you need to know the glycemic index and the load. And here's the difference. The glycemic index is a numerical value of exactly how much your blood sugar goes up, right, in insulin levels – in response to oral ingestion of any kind of an edible agent, okay? So you might eat a piece of wood, and you could call that an edible agent, but I don't think it's, you know, it's probably going to put splinters in your gut, and you're going to end up in surgery. You know, it's not something I recommend to eat a piece of wood, but I would say, okay, that doesn't really have a specific glycemic index. But the difference is the glycemic load is related to how much of it did you eat. Okay, so, you know, hey, I'm a girl. I love popcorn. I love buttered popcorn soaked in the popcorn, right, dripping on the floor. I don't care. Drip on my jammies. I just don't care. And women are going, yay! The only way to make it better is to put some chocolate in there, right? So, you know, if I eat one piece of popcorn, probably my blood sugar levels are not going to get elevated. But I can promise you, I've never eaten just one piece of popcorn, okay? So the glycemic load relates to how much of that popcorn do you have to eat, and it might be five pieces, right?
Right.
It might be, you know, a quarter of a slice of bread before your blood sugar starts going, hey, what are you doing to me, and why are you doing it? But what we know in brain glycemic indexing, here's why it's different. In brain glycemic indexing, it doesn't matter how much you consume. And in brain glycemic indexing is the reason for the lung cancer, okay? So foods that, you know, talk to the brain, and all foods talk to the brain, it's either bad or good, and then the brain starts spilling insulin, isn't related to if it's a sugar or a carbohydrate. What the brain does is figure out, hey, it's called Brix levels. How sweet are you? Are you really sweet? So when it sees an artificial sweetener coming in at 1,400 times sweeter than sugar, it's like, holy crap, I need to make some more fat cells. Yes, let's make a lot more fat cells. And when one fat cell touches the other, that's where you get cellulite. And that's, guess what the fat cell says? We need to make some more fat cells. Yes. Okay. So that's the difference between brain glycemic indexing. Is it's not related to how much you eat,
right?
But the regular glycemic index is, so those two things have to be linked,
Doc,
right?
Doc, I'm getting the feeling here that we should almost make this mandatory. Listen, we're waging war on the industry. You know what? This whole thing about counting calories on the menus and calories on the labels, that is just such antiquated garbage.
What? That is scientific crap. And it's what I call the rapid spread of high-tech ignorance. And you know, I like to talk about the rapid spread of high-tech ignorance because I don't like stupid when we're telling the public, when it's our job to deliver the truth to the public. Okay, guess what? That's my whole mantra. I'm going to deliver the truth in nutrition to the public, and most of the companies that I work with are not happy about that, okay?
Yeah, you got
not
it.
Not happy about
yep.
that.
Hey, Doc, we got to cut out for a quick break here. When we come back, let's hit on the sports drink and the impact on sport performance and testosterone with sugary drinks, and we've got some questions we've got to get to after the break. Are you okay hanging on over the break?
Tell your listeners they need to get a piece of paper because they seriously aren't going to believe it.
Right, and we're also going to talk about some of the solutions with Dr. Andreas Allen after this on Crush Performance. Stick around, everybody. Crush Performance, your weekly source for sport performance and athletic development information. If you're a serious athlete, a weekend warrior, parent, or coach, join us each week as we investigate the latest trends and research coming out of the sport performance world. We'll visit with top athletes, coaches, and sports scientists to keep you on the cutting edge and to find out what it truly takes to achieve human maximum performance. You can visit us online at crushperformance.com, and Crush Performance Radio with me, Jeff Kerschell, can be found on iTunes, Stitcher, and at Radio Influence.
Radio Influence strives to bring you the best in digital media broadcasting. We have something for everyone. National sports radio talents like the Fabulous Sports Babe and Rich Herrera. Huge podcasts like Wrestling Soup and the MMA Insiders with Jason Floyd and Sam Kaplan. News and current event shows like Beyond the Badge with Vincent Hill. And shows that'll make you think like Dangerous Conversation with Scott Ledger. We've got you covered. You can find all our shows on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, and RadioInfluence.com.
You're listening to Crush Performance, your weekly source for sport performance and athletic development information. Get the Crush blogs, podcasts, and performance links at CrushPerformance.com. Now, back to the show.
All right, welcome back to the show. Jeff Kerschell here, Connor Halley behind the glass, keeping us on track. We are your weekly source for sport performance and athletic development information. The first show of every month, we dedicate to our war on sugar, as we need to turn the tides in this battle. And joining us for the entire show today has been Crush favorite Dr. Andres Allen, the chief biomedical officer for the Glycemic Research Institute in Washington, D.C. Dr. Allen, thanks for staying on for the entire show today.
Happy to do it.
Well, listen, I humbly say that we may be saving lives with this conversation we had today. And I don't say that lightly. I really do mean it. If you look at the research and the data that is out there right now in terms of the degenerative neural diseases, Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, the new research linking high glycemic diets to increases in, and I'm not talking a little bit, major increases in risk of cancers. And, you know, for my athletes, Doc, you and I have talked about this endlessly, the frustration they have with trying to maintain and reach their genetic potential. We have had great athletes with a ton of genetic potential that's never realized. And now we're getting a clearer picture, a more clear picture through all the research that it might have nothing to do with how they train or their work ethic, but more to do with what they're eating.
Yes, and genetics. And you know what? Genetics is an amazing topic. I lectured on it at the United Nations General Assembly when I presented my research on sickle cell. But here's what we know about genetics is the human DNA, okay, the double helix, is so complicated. And I was blessed enough to be shown the human genome code by the researchers that discovered it at Johns Hopkins. And I looked at that and went, wow. Is that a sickle cell gene? And they went, yeah, that's why we're here to see you, because of sickle cell. What's beautiful about what's coming in the future? And we're talking about these, you know, nutritional warriors, companies that are coming out to make a better mousetrap, okay? And so what we're talking about with that is you're going to see a whole new generation of foods and beverages, okay, that are consistent with the new research and with longevity. We cannot continue to do what we've been doing because our obesity and diabetes rates and childhood obesity are just going up and up and up and up, okay? And you asked me one time about genetics. Well, guess what? You can put your bad genes on a dimmer switch, right? And that's called epigenetics. And so the new companies are coming out with epigenetics, and we've been doing a lot of research on epigenetics, which means how to put your bad genes on a dimmer switch, okay, like down-regulating cortisol, down-regulating adipose tissue fat cell, down-regulating leptin, down-regulating lipoprotein lipase, and stopping the lowering of testosterone. So now what we're talking about is, now there are researchers and scientists that are coming out with epigenetics. And the first line of defense in epigenetics is it has to be low glycemic and it has to meet brain glycemic indexing. So we're actually certifying some companies. They submit their products and we certify them in switch the brain, switch the game. So think about it.
Love it.
Switch the brain, switch the game in sports medicine, which means there's nothing in there that's going to reduce your sports performance or going to reduce your testosterone. Now, we know that low glycemic improves sports performance and high glycemic reduces sports performance, but that's nothing compared to the new research on testosterone.
Yeah, and we're talking with Dr. Andres Allen, chief biomedical researcher for the Glycemic Institute in Washington, D.C. Dr. Allen, this is very scary, you know, because if we look at one of the scariest things I think you could ever say to an athlete is, hey, drink this and we'll reduce your testosterone. That's exactly what we don't want to happen, yet it's happening every single day. If you look at the average sports drink out there or the average energy drink out there, there's so much sugar in there. It's not just devastating immediately performance and the hormones of the athlete. It's also having a long-term impact on recovery, regeneration, post-exercise, resulting in reduced performance, reduced recovery, increased risk of injury, shorter longevity. It's a travesty what's going on.
This is probably, honestly, Crusher, the most profound thing I've ever seen in my 30 years of research in the field of sports performance, okay? Now, here's what the research shows, clinical research. If, let's say athletes, okay? That's what we're going to talk about, but it doesn't have to be an athlete. It could be a weekend athlete, somebody who just works out.
Sure.
It doesn't matter who you are, but it's profound in someone that makes their living by being an athlete. It's profound in these guys that make $100 million a year in baseball,
right?
Okay? The one thing, as you can tell people, and we don't need to go into it, is lowering testosterone is a really bad idea if you're an athlete. We're not even talking about sexuality and liftoff, okay? There is no sex without testosterone, right? Let's just go to that. But
a conversation for another day.
That's a whole other conversation. But here's the craziness. Now, this is the clinical research. If you drink a protein drink, you know, you just go to the health food store or whatever, and you buy a protein drink. If that protein drink, it has brain glycemic indexing intact and high glycemic, that protein drink is going to acutely, and when we say acutely, kids, we mean real fast, okay? Acutely in science means really, really fast, all right? lightning, like a nanosecond, okay? Lowers testosterone. Now, in people who drink a high glycemic protein drink, and we did all the research on whey protein, and whey protein is not good. It's good in that the kind of protein it is and the way that it stimulates the muscle mitochondria is good, but the whey protein has to be fixed. It has to be corrected so it doesn't stimulate brain glycemic indexing, or it will, and I'm going to give you the number, it will decrease testosterone in males by 19% within a few seconds. Now, guess what, pal? It's going to stay low for 4 hours, okay?
Devastating.
4 hours.
Now, 19% for 4 hours. Devastating.
If you think that's bad in a sports drink or a beverage,
yep,
if it stimulates brain glycemic indexing, okay? Okay. You're going to see an acute reduction in testosterone in males that's 20. It will reduce your testosterone levels by 25%.
Yeah, that's a scary thing.
Now, listen, let me tell you something. You take a quarter of the testosterone away from males, their testicles are going to shrink up like nut butter. Okay? Not literally, but it's figurative, okay?
I get it.
So now you say, okay, let's see. If we drink a drink that stimulates brain glycemic indexing, and it's a protein drink, my testosterone is crashing by 19%. But if it's just a regular sports drink or a drink, my testosterone levels are going to crash for 25%. And it stays down there for 4 hours.
Yeah.
So let's see. We're going to crash testosterone levels by one-fourth of totally what you have in your serum levels available for sports performance. We're going to crash that all to hell, okay? And you can forget about having great sex. We're not even going there. Don't even go there. But we're talking about guys who are, you know what? You'll be able to change records in the Olympics by going, here, have a nice brain glycemic indexing drink. You know, here, drink that versus somebody that has a non-brain glycemic indexing drink, right?
I agree.
And their testosterone doesn't budge. You will change world records by that.
I agree, so, Doc. We've seen...
You can believe that the sports... I'm telling you right now, the sports nutrition companies are calling us and really threatening to kill us, basically, if we don't stop talking about it. And I'm saying, look, you don't need to kill us. You don't need to blow up my new car. You know, why do that when it can be fixed?
Right.
Let's fix it.
We're talking with Dr. Andreas Allen, Chief Biomedical Officer for the Glycemic Research Institute in Washington, D.C. Dr. Allen, a couple minutes left. Listen, we've got a couple of texts here. I just want to read a couple. And there's one question I want to get to, because one thing we haven't talked about, which we will on another day, we'll talk about solutions and what people can do. Here's a text. What a great topic. Thank you, thank you, thank you. As a teacher of health and physical activity, I've preached this for years to my students to be more aware of sugar and its negative effects on the body and the brain. Please keep up the great work. Here's another one. Hey, Crush, is there a way I can get a recording of this show from Brent? Brent, yes, go to our website, crushperformance.com. All the links are there. But Dr. Allen, we only have a couple minutes left, but I want to get you this question really quick.
Yeah.
It says, you mentioned earlier that testosterone starts to decrease at 23 years of age. When do we need to start being conscious of our high glycemic diets? Doc, we only have about a minute left.
Okay. You need to be worried about your GH, IGF, testosterone, whatever, when you're 23, because that's when it really hits the fan.
Right.
That is the human definition of aging, is age 23. Because guess why? You're now expendable off this planet. You're really not needed. So in terms of evolutionary discordance that's been going on a long time, okay, longer than you and I have been on this planet, the Mother Nature and the universe says, you know what, you're 23, get off the planet, stop eating our food, you've already made a baby, that's all we need, you procreated, get out. So if we're talking about growth hormone and anti-aging from that perspective and testosterone, you have to start worrying about it at age 23. So there's nothing you can do up until age 23 to re-stimulate growth hormone, because you're already full of growth hormone and testosterone.
Right.
But it doesn't matter. You know, in puberty, in puberty in kids that are 13 and 14, giving them a high glycemic, brain glycemic indexing drink, even though they were in puberty, and they were exuding massive amount of testosterone. You could scrape it off them with a fork, the testosterone, okay? It's making them crazy, right?
Hey, Doc, in 30 seconds, hey, we only have 30 seconds left. The question, just the other
okay,
part of the
wait,
question.
Even in teenagers,
yeah.
Drinking a high glycemic, brain glycemic indexing drink, crash their testosterone for 20% by 25%. So,
yeah, scary. Scary.
Okay. The other thing is, when do you need to start worrying about the glycemic index and brain glycemic indexing? While you're in the womb. How
right.
about that? Okay.
Wow.
Because obesity and diabetes and Alzheimer's starts in the womb by what your mother eats while you're in the womb. So whatever the mother eats while the baby's in there for 9 months determines the amount of fat cells, and those fat cells are creating hormones that wreak havoc. Plus, if you got a lot of fat cells, then you eat high glycemic foods, it just stuffs you up like a pig.
Dr. Annalise Allen, we are out of time. Not enough time, okay? We are going to carry that discussion on next time. Listen, we got to thank you for coming on the show tonight. So many great texts and questions we didn't get to. The show is going to be available on our website, but we appreciate your time tonight. Fantastic stuff as we wage war on sugar.
Sounds good, Crush. It was a lot of fun.
All right. Dr. Annalise Allen, everybody. Hey, stay tuned next week. We're talking off-season hockey. What should you be thinking? And specialization in sport. Is it lowering your ceiling of potential? You better believe it. Next week on Crush Performance.